Welcome to this podcast of Sunday nights on ABC Local Radio. I hope you enjoy the program.
You're with John Cleary on ABC Local Radio and on Radio Australia.
And thank you for joining us on Sunday night on ABC Radio. Coming up in a few moments' time, we'll be meeting Simon Longstaff of the St James Ethics Centre in Sydney, who received an award in the honours list this year. But right now, it's a pleasure to welcome into the ABC world Paul Handley, editor of the world's leading church newspaper, The Church Times. Paul Handley, thanks for joining us once again on Sunday night.
It's a pleasure. Good evening.
Paul Handley, from the English perspective, the British perspective, the big meeting of the last couple of weeks has been that between the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Pope, both taking office within a few days of each other.
That's right. It was a brief meeting. Justin Welby flew to Rome, met the Pope and flew back out again. But it was good that they made time this early in, well, one has to say in the Pope's programme. Of course, he's a slightly busier programme even than the Archbishop of Canterbury. And there was not a great deal of substance, but a couple of markers that they're looking for some common ground.
I thought it was interesting that Francis's comment on the Ordinariate was phrased in terms of it enhancing Catholic understanding of Anglican tradition.
Yes, they dance very delicately around the Ordinariate, which, just to remind listeners, it is set up for Anglicans who were basically fed up with the way the Anglican Church was going in terms of women, priests and bishops, and to a slightly lesser extent, the liberal approach to things. There aren't vast numbers, regardless of what people expect in the first place. There's an element of embarrassment about the thing, because it's there, and there are dedicated people there, but they've very clearly been assimilated into the Catholic Church. They are Roman Catholics, but of a slightly distinctive kind. I avoid using the word odd, because I'm sure they're terribly nice people.
It still was interesting to catch the nuance of the diplomatic language there.
Yeah.
The thing they did unite on, clearly, and have a shared view on, is global justice and poverty.
That's right. And I think reading through the statement that Justin Welby had prepared and then delivered in the presence of the Pope, he picked up very clearly on the care of the poor and all the South American liberation theology things that the Pope wouldn't admit were liberation theology, but nonetheless had been significant in his development.
That, of course, linked clearly with events in the world outside the churches over the last couple of weeks. The G8 summit, the emphasis there from the Church in England on global poverty, and even to the issue of taxation.
Yes, there's an ongoing debate in England about our contribution to helping the world's poor. But England is now achieving the 0.7% target of the GDP in overseas aid. And there's a constant niggle from the right-wing papers here about how we're cutting back on all our social services, all our internal budgets. But this one seems to be sacrosanct, and why are we wasting all this money? Obviously, I find that argument quite despicable. And what it does do is it means that Prime Minister David Cameron can go to these international gatherings with a certain amount of moral credentials, which enable him to talk about the poor and about why the wealthy countries that make up the G8 are not doing more. And the focus this time has very much been on tax. The wealth is being created, but the governments aren't getting their hands on it because the largest and the most popular companies are filtering their money through low tax havens.
And actually that does echo some of the things that have been said in Australia on much the same level, although it's unfortunate that perhaps our overseas aid budget has been cut rather than maintained. Justin Welby also had a little go at the banks as well, I understand.
Well, he has been a member of the Banking Standards Commission, which reported this week after about 18 months of deliberations. They produced a report which was, I think, 570 pages long, or 750 pages long, but more than a morning's read, anyway. And the headline that's taken off here is the idea of jailing reckless bankers. It's sort of the headline story because it catches the eye, and obviously that's not the main proposal. But nonetheless, it's the idea that banking crises don't happen by accident. They are the result of incompetence or recklessness by people who've lost touch with the meaning of money. There are some risk junkies out there, and they have been put in charge of some hugely important institutions, and if they go down, they bring the rest of us down with them. So because of his working, he's been talking in St. Paul's, he's been involved in debates, and you get the impression that he is the moral voice of the banking world at the moment, but he's also the financial voice of the moral world, if you see what I mean. It's unusual and quite a breathtaking situation to have an archbishop, a churchman, who can straddle both these fields.
And speak with some authority. Is there evidence that he's cutting through in terms of the way the government is now rhetorically treating those issues?
Well, we've had little pats on the back from the Chancellor of the Exchequer here. And also, because Justin Welby is quite well connected, and also the other members of the Banking Standards Commission, there have been some welcoming sounds from the banking world. The only dissent has been the idea that if the regulations in Britain become tougher, then the banking headquarters will move to softer places in the world. And so they say, well, the world should act together, which is another way of saying it shouldn't act at all, because there's no way the various authorities are going to get together. I think something will come out of this, but as usual, one expects it to be watered down, if that's not too cynical.
Paul Handley, let's turn finally to something that was rather a surprise. The last week, the Sandford St. Martin Trust, that promotes excellence in religious broadcasting, awarded its first trustees award to, of all things, the Olympics opening ceremony. On what basis?
Well, I have to declare an interest because I am one of the trustees of the Sandford St. Martin Trust. So this wasn't my idea, but I was in on the thinking, because it was a hugely religious occasion. And by religious, I don't mean folk religion. I don't mean that the church is trying to assimilate a cultural event and claim it's religious, but it placed religion in the middle of the story of England, the story of the greater themes that were behind that opening ceremony. So there were religious bits in it, there were hymns, but there was also throughout an understanding of good and evil, an appeal to higher things, and even if personified in your mind by Mary Poppins. I mean, it was nonetheless, many people afterwards spoke of it as having the same sort of effect as a religious ceremony, and that it inspired and it infused people. So I think it has sparked off some sort of debate, because obviously it wasn't set in a church, it wasn't wholly religious, and there were all sorts of other elements.
It also goes to a point that's actually becoming increasingly relevant in the political arena, that is the extent to which religions are, with a small c, civilizational, that is they actually help shape the nature of a civilization or a culture.
Yeah, that's right. And I think in the discussions with the trustees, we were just gratified that religion took its natural place in the nation's life in the way this was presented. I mean, even though Danny Boyle, the director, is an agnostic, he nonetheless had no quibble at all that the writing of the piece, which was by Frank Cottrell Boyce, is a Roman Catholic. And it very naturally was part of the narrative. So the idea that a religious ceremony can't have other elements in it, the idea that something which is not primarily religious can have religious elements, all those meshed into something quite affirming.
Paul Handley, great to speak with you again. We look forward to having another chat in about a month's time. Paul Handley
Thank
there
you.
At the Church Times. Paul, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. You can download your favourite Sunday night interviews from our website at abc.net.au/Sunday Nights with an S. Thank you for listening.